What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, here to talk some Los Angeles Chargers football on the Locked On Chargers podcast. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our first with the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you your team every single day. All right, guys. Well, there's a lot to talk about on today's show. We have kind of a lot of little topics to get into, including some of the fan voicemails and questions. We have one voicemail and two questions to get into today. So I definitely want to thank everyone who brought their questions to us. And thank you to Brent Sweeney, who called into the Locked On Chargers voicemail, which you can reach at 323-524-7924. So we'll get into that to start the show. And then in the second segment, we have some really good numbers to go over. Pro Football Focus came out with a list of the six stats that you need to know about the Chargers going into the season. So we'll discuss those. And then to wrap things up, we're going to be talking about Jalen Ramsey making waves again, discussing the possibility about him and Derwin James playing together. And I think you're going to like what he had to say about that. But before we get started, I do want to tell everyone to make sure they're subscribing to the Locked On Chargers podcast. And the best place to do it is on the brand new Himalaya podcasting app, where you can get every single show. And the best part is it's free, and their podcast tastemakers will curate a playlist for you to give you the best shows that might be like the ones that you already listen to and that you would like as well. So make sure to get the Himalaya podcast app so you can listen to the Locked On Chargers. All right, guys, well, let's get into it. First, I want to get into this voicemail that we have from Brent Sweeney, who unfortunately lives in Kansas City, which must be a hard place to be a Charger fan with all of the success that they have had in recent years. So let's go ahead and hear what he has to say regarding the Chargers secondary.
Hey, guys, it's Brent Sweeney here, diehard Charger in Kansas City. Unfortunately, pretty rough. But I just really want to talk about the cornerback battle between Trevor Williams and Michael Davis. And even if, you know, Casey, God forbid, were to go down, I still feel comfortable saying we would probably have the best defensive backfield still with Michael Davis and Trevor Williams starting. So we're loaded, man. Ready for that pass rush and interception combo, man. Let's get it.
So Brent seems to think that the Chargers, even if they were to, God forbid, lose Casey Hayward, would still have the best secondary in the league. David, when you hear something like that, do you think it could be realistic?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, I think there's a lot of talent, although I think that the answer to that question hinges largely on a comeback of Trevor Williams. You know, obviously he was hurt last year, you know, just couldn't really get right and missed most of the season. But, you know, 2 years ago, he was in rare form. You know, he was one of the best corners in the league outside of Casey Hayward that year. So I know he was in the top 10. He was ranked top 10. So, you know, if he can get back to that former level of play, he seems to be healthy this year. If he can, you know, get back to tap into how he played 2 years ago, I think that statement can definitely ring true.
Yeah, I'm happy with the state of the cornerback position right now, with what they have. And that's, you know, even though they got shredded by the Patriots, and you could put a lot of that blame on the secondary, but I think that was more of a scheme issue. I think one-on-one, the players that you have right now match up well with pretty much every team. They have three very capable corners, probably four if Trevor Williams were to come back, but there's just too much to wait and see to say that this is the best secondary in football right now. We don't know what Nazir Adderley is going to be, even though we are hopeful. We know Derwin James is one of the best safeties in the league, but we're also going to need a bounce back year from Casey Hayward as well, because he definitely had some down moments in the 2018 season. So there's just a lot, John, to really look at to answer this question. I wish I could come out with a hot take and just say, yes, this is hands down the best secondary in the league, even if Michael Davis were to get hurt. But at this point, I don't think I'm quite there yet.
Well, when he asked secondary, I'm guessing that means he's including Derwin James, Nazir Adderley into this group as well. So if you lose Michael Davis, you still have Casey Hayward, Desmond King, if Trevor Williams comes back healthy, you still have him, Azir Adderley, and Derwin James. I don't know about you. And then if you add Adrian Phillips as well, I don't know about you. But that sounds like a great secondary in my mind, even with just one injury coming away.
Yeah, I agree with that for the most part. I think that it is going to be a good secondary pretty much even if one of those guys gets injured, because I think that when they're at their best, I don't think there's much of a difference between Michael Davis and Trevor Williams. So I don't think the injury is a big factor in that. But at the same time, we still have to see how this unit goes out there and meshes. You know, they had Jahlil Adai last year, and even with that, they were one of the better secondaries in the league. So could they do it? Absolutely, 100%. This could be the best secondary in the league with or without that injury. And we don't even know which of those guys is going to start necessarily with Trevor Williams coming in healthy. But to say it's the best in the league, hands down, I'm not there yet with this. There's still some flaws in their game and some questions that need to be answered for me. But I definitely see what you're saying there, and we appreciate the call because that was a good question. So getting into another question from Twitter, this time it's from Lewis Bentzman asking if it's realistic that they could make the Chargers a London-based team now that Jacksonville is relevant and the Rams are pretty much the top team in LA. So any way that the Chargers could be a London team or possibly the Raiders? Well, I'll start it off here by saying I don't think so. I don't really think there's any chance. They're supposed to be in LA for 10 years. As part of the deal with moving up there. So there's that in the way. And yes, the NFL really can do whatever they want. And I understand Jacksonville might not be the team at the top of the list right now, but I could see it being mentioned, John, but I just think there's too many determining factors that wouldn't go towards the Chargers being that team in London.
There's a lot of factors that go against any team really in the NFL going to London. And most of that is travel. If you're a team traveling from London to go play a game over in the U.S., that's a long trip. And then you have to make that trip back after the game. And if you have home away, or even if they try to disguise it somehow to where it's easier for them, where they have three home and then three away, however you plan it, that's still a long time to travel. And if you have three away and you decide to stay over in the U.S. because it's easier on the bodies, that's at least 3 weeks away from home. There's just so many troubles that you have to go through just with that alone. And then when you have the Chargers, who, yeah, they're not the favorite in LA, but they are a relevant team. And if you move them to London, you're going to lose even more of a fan base than you already have moving them to San Diego. Jacksonville has played in London almost every year and have created a fan base. So that's why that was a topic. To bring the Raiders into this, the Raiders are already starting to get a lot of love in Vegas as it is. They don't have to compete with anybody else for that market, really. So I don't even think you can put them in that race either. So for the Chargers to be in this conversation, I don't think they belong.
Well, and let's be honest, the Chargers have a pretty sweet deal if you're looking at it that way. They basically get to tag along with the Rams and their new stadium for free for the most part. So I think that it's just very unlikely. Would the NFL like to expand into international waters, per se, and go across the pond and have a team there and really show people in Europe what football is like and get them more interested in it and away from, you know, soccer or basketball, which are the primary relevant sports over there? I think they would love to do that. I don't think that they're very close to being able to send a team over there yet, though. I just think there's too many logistical nightmares that you would have to do. Right now, you're basically having to give teams a bye right after sending them to London because of the effect that that has on the player. So I don't see it happening, but I don't think it's a bad question because, hey, when there's teams like the Chargers are right now where the fan base doesn't have a good foothold, I think it's a question that will be raised. So I definitely understand where you're coming from there, but I don't see the Chargers or the Raiders necessarily making that jump. But we do have one more question from Jason Moose Ciano on Twitter asking why the Chargers haven't signed Jeremy Parnell yet. I've been an advocate for Parnell. I think with the flaws that he has, and even at his age, he is an upgrade over Sam Tevi. And I also think that they're going to wait to see which other teams decide to cut contracts that are costing them a lot of money to try and make other moves. July 1st is usually around the time where these things go down. So I think they're going to wait and see what's available. And David, unfortunately, this group in the front office and the coaching staff seems to believe a lot in Sam Tevy.
Yeah, I mean, just based off of what I've heard from press conferences from, you know, Tom Telesco and even Anthony Lynn, you know, they have, for at least from my opinion, an unfounded amount of confidence in Sam Tevy's ability to play right tackle for the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't share that same opinion. I don't think any of us on this podcast do. We all think that there's an upgrade that needs to be done, but unfortunately, the people that matter don't think that at this time there needs to be another right tackle to be brought in. So there's not a lot of urgency there. That's unfortunate, but you know, that's just the reality.
Yeah, they do seem to really believe in Sam Tevy. And I think that, hey, you know, if you give him a couple years, could he be a serviceable right tackle? I think that's a possibility. I just don't think this team has the time to wait for that to be. They need a cohesive, at least average starting offensive line right now during their Super Bowl window. They don't have time to wait for Trey Pipkins to develop and become a good right tackle, or for Sam Tevy to develop and become a good right tackle. So I just don't know what they're going to do, but they seem to be happy with Sam Tevy. Hopefully somebody else becomes available that they absolutely cannot pass up and they decide to bring him in. Is it going to be Jerry Parnell? We haven't heard anything about it right now. We haven't heard him visiting or anything like that. So I think we just have to wait and hope that somebody better becomes available. But I do want to get into the next segment, talking about a lot of good numbers, Pro Football Focus, and some things to consider going into the season. But first, I want to thank our friends over at Hotels.com, where you don't have to hate like your friend's trip. You can book your own. Hotels.com will get you rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. All right, guys, now it's time to get into the next segment, going over our good friends at Pro Football Focus new list about numbers that we need to know going into the NFL season. There's a lot of good stuff on here, but the first one I want to talk about is Mike Williams, who had a huge second year, ended up with 10 touchdowns receiving last year, and basically just caught everything that was thrown to him. So the number that Pro Football Focus gives us today is that Mike Williams hauled in the 10th best rate of his intermediate targets in a breakout year for the Chargers a season ago. And John, I think that kind of goes with what we've wanted Mike Williams to be outside of the red zone. Not even necessarily talking about the red zone, but being that guy who can get into that intermediate 10 to 20 yards to get first downs and be that possession type receiver in the middle of the field. And this number right here is showing us that he's turning into that.
Yes, this is going to be our reliable first down receiver with numbers like this. And the fact that he has numbers that prove it makes us feel a lot more confident that that first round pick that was injured for so long is now going to become reliable and a big piece and not a wasted pick like Buster Davis was back in the day. So the fact that you actually hit this on the nail, Wade, when you said this is going to be our guy that could be our third down receiver, or even just the guy that can catch a 15-yard pass in the middle if it's like second and 20, you said before last year, you nailed it on the head. And the number, the fact that number shows it, I'm giving you props on this show right now. I'm giving Daniel Wade props for calling that out, because I thought Mike Williams was just going to be our jump ball receiver in the end zone, but you called this out. So I got to give you props for that.
I mean, he's just become, you know, one of Phillip Rivers' top options throwing into that area of the field, because when you're throwing into that area, we saw it a few years ago with like Tyrell Williams and even Griff Whalen, who we don't like to talk about around here. When you throw in that dangerous area of the field, you need to be certain that your receiver is going to come down with it, because if that ball is tipped in the air, there's just so many bodies around that it can lead to disaster. So I think we saw it back in the day with Malcolm Floyd to a different extent and different routes. And we also saw it with Vincent Jackson, guys that can get you a first down on third and 15 without just doing a go route and just, you know, basically trying to beat the defense deep. These guys can get into tight windows and attack the ball at the catch point. And Mike Williams is turning into a guy, I mean, coming into his third season, we're expecting a lot. And I think those type of plays are going to have a lot to do with it.
And the best part about him is that with how wide his arms are, if we've seen Rivers be a little bit inaccurate sometimes on throws over the middle, Mike Williams' long arms are actually helping catch those balls, even if they're thrown behind him or just a little bit too in front of him. He's able to still catch them. So you have a little bit bigger target. Even though he doesn't look like he's a big guy, his arms make him a bigger target for Rivers to have a little bit more, I say, give in his accuracy.
Yeah, I think this also opens up more options for Hunter Henry, too, in the middle of the field. I think Hunter Henry's return is only going to help Mike Williams be even more productive and also lessen the blow of Tyrell Williams' absence.
Yeah, I think that's a good point as well. And some of the other numbers that they give us, we talked about Thomas Davis on the last show, but one good thing to know about him is even at his age last year, he was tied for fifth amongst linebackers in pass breakups with five and had the 15th best coverage grade, which is something that we really like to see from him. And another guy that we always seem to be seeing on lists like this is Desmond King, who led the team in the categories of overall defensive grade and coverage grade for the Chargers last year in his absolutely breakout season. So we know what Desmond King can do, and the numbers, at least if you listen to Pro Football Focus, back it up. But another number I want to get into and talk about a little bit is Justin Jackson and the number that they gave for him, specifically in the elusive rating, where he got a 63.7, which was 12th amongst running backs, and his 77.6 receiving grade was 11th amongst running backs, even with the low amount of snaps that he played last season. So, David, right now, the Chargers' third best running back is top 12 in both of those categories. And I think we can easily say right now that they must have the best pass catching backfield in the league with what Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler are able to do.
Well, yeah, I think Melvin Gordon showed last year that, you know, he can get in the end zone through the air and on the ground just as effectively. He has really become a complete receiver. He is a weapon in the passing game. We already know what the little spark plug Austin Ekeler can do when he gets the ball in his hands. He's electric. And even Justin Jackson, you know, with just, I think he had, 15 receptions, 120 plus yards receiving. So, I mean, that's really good production from a seventh round pick, guys. I mean, that's awesome to get that level of play from that type of guy. You know, it really just complements the running back game and also softens the blow in case of injuries, because we know, hey, running back is a tough position to play.
Yeah, and Melvin Gordon has had his fair share of injury history, so you definitely need guys behind him. And his contract is going up, like we talked about in the last show, after this season. So I think we're going to see a lot more from Justin Jackson. And let's not forget that seventh round picks, that's not even a given to make the team, which Justin Jackson didn't do last year to start the year. So, I mean, to get that out of a seventh round pick, people forget about the likes of, you know, Tevin Reese, the receiver in the seventh round that never even made the team, Edwin Baker, Donovan Clark, who had injury short in his career. It's not easy to get production out of seventh round picks, but it seems like they found a steal in Justin Jackson so far. Just go back and watch that Steelers game where he just absolutely made a name for himself and was just making guys miss left and right, broke like eight tackles on three different carries or something ridiculous like that. He is a player, and you can just tell. And the last number I want to get into is the numbers they have on Drew Tranquil, John. I'll give you this one right here, which is a pretty ridiculous stat. Drew Tranquil played 350-plus coverage snaps in each of the last two seasons and surrendered zero touchdowns. So we wanted a guy that had versatility, and that shows you what he was able to do, especially in the red zone and in coverage over the last couple of years.
As good as those numbers are, they're college numbers, and Notre Dame is part of the independent conference, so they don't always have the strongest schedule. So these numbers don't impress me at all just because of Notre Dame's schedule. If he can live up to those numbers in the NFL, then we have a steal on our hands. But those numbers are ridiculous, but they play teams like Air Force, who rarely throws the ball. They like to do the triple option offense, which is 90 runs and one pass. Teams like that are going to help improve that grade. So this grade doesn't really mean much to me.
See, I disagree because I agree that there are some of those teams on their schedule, but we're only talking about coverage snaps. So that game against Air Force doesn't even really count in this metric because it's only counting the snaps that he's falling back into coverage and when teams are passing. So I thought it was a very impressive stat. Just, I mean, the number zero to just give up zero touchdowns over the last two seasons in coverage with the amount of times that he dropped back into coverage was a pretty amazing stat. So I think that's good to see from Drew Tranquil. And the farther we get away from the draft, the more I tend to like Drew Tranquil and what he could be able to bring to the Chargers. Maybe not next season, but definitely in the future. But I do want to get into one more segment talking about Jalen Ramsey and his future wearing Charger Bolts coming up in the next segment. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into the final segment on the docket today. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Grip Six, who make the best belt in the world. Get this good Father's Day gift now. It's an ultra lightweight belt with no holes and no flap. Grip Six has a special offer for our listeners. You just have to go to gripsix.com/lock. That's gripsix.com/LOCKE. Father's Day is coming up really quick on us, guys, so make sure you have something for him. We all know he could use a belt replacement, and you can get that with Grip Six belts. But let's go ahead and get into Jalen Ramsey. He made waves this week when he was talking on Instagram Live on his own personal Instagram about a bunch of things, but the only things that the Chargers fans care about is at one point in the video, he says that he and his former teammate at Florida State, Derwin James, will be on the same team again 1,000% at some point in their careers. So that's obviously going to get Chargers fans really excited because Jalen Ramsey is one of the most talented cornerbacks in the league, undoubtedly. Last year, he didn't have as good of a season, but I think all of us would sign up for that in a heartbeat, except for maybe John because he doesn't like players who talk a lot. But at least two out of three of us would be very excited to have the talent of Jalen Ramsey on the Chargers. So there's a lot that goes into that. But David, of course, if you can get a player of that magnitude, you would do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, I mean, come on, man. I mean, just imagine this. Casey Hayward plays out the remainder of his contract, and then you replace Casey Hayward with Jalen Ramsey right in the middle of his physical prime. Wow. I mean, that is scary. Hey, match him up with Derwin, with Desmond King, Michael Davis, Trevor Williams. Oh, my goodness, man. That is nasty. I mean, that's a complete no-fly zone. The Jack Boys would be at an all-time high level for sure.
Yeah, they will. And I think one of the things that's going to come into play with that is, hey, what is this team going to look like? That's more than likely going to be the post-Philip Rivers era, so we don't know how the team is going to be looking and how much of a contender they're going to be at that time. And the other problem is, John, there's a lot of players they're going to have to re-sign in that offseason. You can see what the Chargers' plan is because there's going to be a lot of guys to pay in 2021. Most notably, Keenan Allen, Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, and Russell Okung. That's a huge part of your core right there. So there's a lot of guys to pay, even if they did want to spend the money to get a guy in Jalen Ramsey that's going to be 26 when he becomes an unrestricted free agent.
It is going to be a lot of money. But the other question is, will Jalen Ramsey keep up his ways of playing poorly because he's talking a lot, or is he going to go back to the all-star version that we saw his first year? Because Ramsey, if he continues what he did last year, you could get him at a cheaper contract and get a steal and hope that a new change of scenery might turn him back into that all-star, especially if he's playing with his former Florida State teammate in Derwin James. Maybe that proves the mood a little bit. Well, that's a big question in my mind alone. But the guys you mentioned are big names that we have to probably sign before we even pick up a new guy, honestly. Keenan Allen's been a huge part of the offense, and Joey Bosa is slowly improving himself every year, even after injury. So those two names alone are going to cost you a lot. And if you lose one of those guys, you might be able to sign Jalen Ramsey, but who are you going to get to replace one of those guys?
Yeah, and Melvin Ingram and Russell Okung, I mean, at that point, we're talking after another few seasons. We'll have to revisit what those guys are playing like at that time. I don't necessarily know if Melvin Ingram or Russell Okung is going to get another contract from the Chargers. But at the same time, you just don't know at this point. I mean, we don't know what the Chargers are going to have drafted by then. We just don't know too much about it. And the other thing, David, that we don't know is, hey, he's saying this right now. First of all, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. And second of all, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be on the Chargers. We could see an NBA-type situation where these two are in constant communication, which they probably are. They seem to be very tight. They could be saying, hey, you know, once our contracts line up together or once I get out of mine, I'll go here. And then when your contract goes up, then you come here as well. So it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to play from the Chargers. They're going to play for the Chargers just because they want to play together.
Yeah, no, it definitely does not guarantee that they're going to come to the Chargers at all. And also, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, these decisions are years away. So, I mean, is it exciting to, you know, think about the possibilities of having Derwin James and Jalen Ramsey in the same secondary on the Chargers as a Charger fan? Absolutely. But also, pump the brakes a little bit. You got to think about the business side of things. John is right. It's going to cost an ungodly amount of money to sign this guy in his, you know, at age 26 season. And I'm sure it's going to be a multi-year deal along with all the other guys we have to sign. So it's just, yeah, it's fun to fantasize about it. But, you know, again, a lot of time between now and when those decisions are ultimately going to be made.
And you would like to hope that this decision comes sooner than later, because I was going to bring it up earlier, but Wade beat me to it. There is a chance that this is going to be another team. So if you got Jalen Ramsey sooner, so maybe if the Jaguars are getting tired of him and they want to trade him and you just have to trade a draft pick and his rookie contract is enough to fit in your salary cap next year, maybe that's a way to make this whole thing work. There's a lot of different ways this can work. But if you make it happen sooner than later, I think it helps the Chargers in the long run.
I mean, I think there's an absolute scenario that could play out where, hey, you're talking about 2021. Maybe the Chargers have a new young quarterback. Maybe they want to build up their defense and use a quarterback that has a very reasonable contract for 5 years to create another Super Bowl window. I mean, Tom Telesco has done a lot in his short time with the Chargers, and I'm sure he sees how these other teams are playing, whether you look at the Los Angeles Rams and what they're doing with Jared Goff or what the Bears are doing with Mitch Trubisky. Hey, load up on defense. Spend money on defense and weapons, deal with a young quarterback who's on a really good contract, and have that be the way to have the most complete team. Because at the end of the day, when you're paying quarterbacks, you know, 10, 15% of your team's total salary cap, it's really hard to fill out the rest of the roster at that point. So maybe they take a page out of the Eagles' book with Carson Wentz and they spend their money elsewhere and get a cheap cornerback. And hey, Jalen Ramsey would be a pretty good cornerstone between him and Derwin James. And, of course, you know, re-signing Joey Bosa potentially right there. That's the start of a pretty good defense, no matter what else is going on around it. So I think we're all very hopeful that someday the Chargers could get Jalen Ramsey, but it's a little bit too far down the road because we first need to finish out Phillip Rivers' career and see which way the Chargers are going to go after that, because right now that's the great unknown. Those are the blank pages of the Chargers franchise story that have yet to be written. And I don't know if anyone really has a firm grasp on what those years are going to look like yet, but it's kind of a scary thought, so I don't like to think about it. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We definitely want to thank all of our sponsors, Hotels.com and Grip Six Belts, for sponsoring this show today. We really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who joined us for another episode of the Locked On Chargers podcast. We'll be back with you guys on Wednesday. Until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers so you can get all of the questions that we ask of the fans and you guys can input your opinion there. And if you want to input your voice on the show like Bryn Sweeney out of Kansas City did today, make sure you're calling into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. Also, subscribe to the podcast on the new Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast from so you can get the show the night before everybody else. Well, we'll be back with you guys soon. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.